Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
We had a home birth back in 2016.
So we started a podcast about it.
And then grew it into a birth brand to help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth.
This is the place to hear home birth stories along with helpful resources and tips to feel empowered and supported in your birth journey.
This is Doing It at Home. Welcome home. Thank you for tuning in today. This is Doing It at Home. On behalf of myself, Sarah, and Matthew, we appreciate you for taking the time and hanging out with us for a bit. No matter where you are on your journey, this is about feeling confident, prepared, and excited for home birth. And you could be at any stage of the journey. You could be preconception and exploring your options, pregnant and planning for your birth. You could be postpartum and love the oxytocin vibes that come from birth stories and in general, empowering birth conversations. So you are in the space for all of that. And if you are new to the space, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so thrilled to have you however you found us. And if you are a veteran, if this is your 400th plus episode, whether it's back from 2016 to now, or maybe you went on a binge and you hit 400 in a couple of weeks, whatever the case is, thank you. And if you want to get connected with us further and learn more about Doing It at Home, I suggest you check out the show notes of whatever device and player you are listening with. There's links to our website, diahpodcast.com, our social media, our book on Amazon, all the other ways you can connect with us. And you can also check out the links for sweet offers and discounts from our partners that we collaborate with to bring you amazing products that are all within the scope and in the space of parenthood, birth, pregnancy, etc. Today's episode is Positive Example of Collaborative Care and Preparation for Home Birth with Ryan Woodbury. This is a really great topic because collaborative care comes up often, and the question of, is it possible to have good collaborative care with a team of different practitioners when planning for home birth? Well, it's absolutely possible. And this episode, this story, speaking with Ryan, is a great example of that because you don't always, unfortunately, hear about positive experiences with collaborative care. It's not highlighted as much, but this conversation highlights that. And this is actually the second time that we've chatted with Ryan. We spoke with her a few months back talking about needed and optimal nutrition and nourishment for the perinatal journey. And so I linked that first episode in the show notes, as well as the home birth story of her co-founder and friend, Julie. That is linked in there for you too. Those are great episodes to check out to kind of be in the space of this conversation and have some of that backstory. And some of the topics that we cover are preconception planning, choosing your provider team and utilizing collaborative care, as well as different modalities like acupuncture and chiropractic for your prenatal care. Brief word from our sponsor, and then you will hear Ryan's story.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can you just give us some backstory here and share a little bit about you and your family before we get into pregnancy and birth?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Ryan Woodbury. I professionally am the co-founder of Needed, a perinatal nutrition business that you've probably heard elsewhere, as Sarah and Matthew have been amazing supporters. So I won't spend too much time there. But I live in LA. We joke that we have three children right now. Emerson is my first human child whose birth story I will be sharing today. We have two wild dogs, Canyon and Lincoln, that very much make it feel like we have a household of three at the moment with my husband, Dave.
That's amazing. I love that. And you all are very active. I loved when I got to spend time with you in LA a few months ago. Just you're always outdoors, it seems like. And it seems like that's a big part of, you know, the family culture that you're creating in your household. And that's very inspiring.
Yeah, we try, certainly. And I think, like, I can joke later postpartum, but Emerson and I, like, spent a week in bed snuggling, but then we hit that week mark, and versus others, I was like, oh, maybe I would try the first 40 days. It was clear that for our family, after a week exactly, we were ready to be on long dog walks starting after a week. And we're lucky that we were able to do that.
I'm excited to hear about that a little bit more, because I'm sure there are others who can relate. If it's not a long dog walk, it might be something else. And there's what's out there as options, and then there's what ultimately you find works best for you. And yeah. I feel like
that makes you feel like yourself and you're a part of your family and that functioning unit. Totally.
So tell us a little bit about why home birth for you. Is that something you knew you wanted to do? Did that come later on?
Yeah. So I can share. I think intuitively, it was something that I've known I wanted to do my whole life. It's funny, and I think I may have mentioned this on the other podcast with you all, but a very early childhood memory of mine is hearing about a preschool teacher who had a home birth. Mm. And it wasn't something that is the norm in my family at all. Like, you know, my mom is on the board of the closest hospital. Parents weren't really in favor of this process, but I think early on it was something that just intuitively felt right to me, just like aligned with who I am. And I tend to be someone that can make decisions very intuitively, but then go back and do my homework to, like, sort of back up that decision. And this was very much that case. My husband, Dave, wasn't immediately excited about the idea of a home birth, and I knew he wouldn't. So I did a bunch of, like, analytical preparatory work to get him comfortable. And then we interviewed midwives before we even got pregnant to make sure he was comfortable with the process as well, since I knew that was an important aspect of the journey for me. And it wasn't going to go well if our, like, family unit didn't feel both excited and positive about it.
Mm. What were some of the things that were coming up for your husband?
I think a lot of it was probably just so new, and, like, hadn't really heard of others having had home births. So it was something that was out of the norm for him. And I think there's just so much dogma in our world that birthing at the hospital is safer and that's normal. And, like, you know, we're putting me or the baby at risk for not being there. And I think it took a little bit of just, like, education, going through the data for him to get comfortable. And then I think ultimately our midwife, Davey Khalsa here in LA, we interviewed a number of midwives, but I think with Davey especially got Dave comfortable and excited. And maybe part of that was she was a certified nurse midwife. She worked in a hospital setting, supporting, high-risk infants before she ended up going back to be a midwife. And I think that aspect of her gave Dave a lot of comfort. I think me too, but for him, I think that background kind of helped him get over the hump. And then for me, Davey's like an interesting mixture of maybe being slightly more conservative, trained in a traditional setting, but then she's also Sikh. So she practices in a very spiritual, intuitive way as well. And I think the sort of mixture of those two like elements just ended up feeling really right for the two of us and kind of gave us each the mix of what we wanted in our like main, you know, medical, emotional kind of support person there.
Mm. And did you decide on Davey before becoming pregnant when you were in that preconception interview process?
We did, yes. And then I started seeing Davey for just like general kind of wellness preconception appointments. So it was nice to be able to build a relationship with her. And then I think another part that got, you know, Dave comfortable with the experience is that there's an OB in LA, Dr. Anthony Chin, who backs up home birth midwives and has an especially close relationship with Davey. And I think that he played, I think, a big role in our journey. We saw him in tandem with Davey a couple of times throughout the process. And they, I think, truthfully just have a beautiful relationship that I will get to later. Mm-hmm. But it's this model of, in my mind, how like prenatal care like really can work at its mm-hmm. most effective state, where you have, you know, this amazing home birth midwife who wants to support sort of what our bodies are meant to do and give you, empower you as a woman to be able to do that. But then Dr. Chin kind of providing more of the Western medical sort of oversight, like I am here if there is an emergency, but I really trust Davey and I'm going to listen to her. And, you know, there's many comments that he said throughout the pregnancy of, for example, in my third trimester, Davey just had a hunch that, you know, your fluid levels might be a little bit low. Like, I think we need to focus on your like hydration. I never stopped drinking coffee. She's like, Ryan, you might need to cut back the coffee and we're going to work on hydration. And like, why don't you just go talk to Dr. Chin to double check? And Dr. Chin was basically like, wow, like I never would have picked up on this myself because I have a machine to do it for me. And it's amazing that Davey was able to just like notice this. And I really like sort of appreciated him highlighting how their two expertises can, you know, work in tandem. And what worked out well and was very kismet is that like exact same day I got the diagnosis that my like fluid levels were low, needed actually, was about to launch our hydration support products. And I got the manufacturing samples like off the line, like that afternoon. So I was immediately able to use our like needed supplements, to help me out on my journey at like the perfect right time, which was great.
Yeah, that is really great timing. Cool. And I'm drinking my hydration support right now, actually, the new line.
I am too. Yeah, don't have a morning without it.
Everyone take a sip right now. Everyone stay hydrated, please. What you described in terms of the dynamic of the care is so beautiful. It's so win-win. And I feel like it's what we all ultimately here are doing it at home, holding that space. And then so many listeners in the community would love to see happening across the country, across the globe. And it just makes me really happy that there's a model of that that's working really well, the way you put it, prenatal care working effectively. And that's so awesome that you got to have that and that both Dr. Chin and Davey are out there doing it.
It's amazing. And more of that needs to happen. And I think we're lucky in LA that there is that relationship. But even in LA, this massive city, there's only like a handful of OBs that will like officially back up home birth midwives, which is sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan, can you think about any, during the portion of the time you're doing your research, can you think about any resources that were particularly helpful for you or for your husband?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I tried to send my husband some stuff to read. I mean, I listened to a ton of podcasts. Your podcast was definitely helpful. I loved all of the Ina May Gaskin books, like totally ate all of that up. That was nothing that I could get Dave ultimately excited about. I think the biggest resource for him was ultimately just being able to meet a number of midwives and sort of see how knowledgeable they were and felt very comfortable in answering all of his questions. I think that that was the biggest thing versus, you know, some website or some article. And I would have loved to have him, like, you know, listen to some podcasts, but that just, it wasn't where he wanted to spend his time, and I could only push so many things.
Well, it's great to know that, because that was the same for me. You know, I appreciated the books and the different things that Sarah shared with me, but it wasn't until we met with midwives and I met the one who would become our midwife, Debbie, that I really felt comfortable and then excited about it. So to hear that that was the same with Dave, I think that's a great takeaway for anybody listening whose partner might still be on the fence, yes, despite having, you know, received the emails and the podcast links. It might be time to do a face-to-face conversation, or maybe even a Zoom with a midwife so that they can have questions
answered. Yeah, and all midwives, they do it, and they're very happy to do those appointments. And I think it's great even for, like, the partner that is already on board, that you might, like, love the idea of a home birth or a hospital birth, but knowing your care provider before you fully start that journey, I think is a way to allow you to really be, like, informed going into the process. Because as I have a friend that says, you know, like, birth providers are kind of like restaurants. Like, the menu changes depending on who you work with, and you should know what's on the menu, which I think is, like, an interesting analogy. And if jumping ahead, I can name, like, two things even with, like, Davey that were a little bit of, you know, surprises near the end of just sort of knowing what's on the menu that ended up all being okay. But, you know, had I probably asked questions earlier on these specific topics, it probably would have, I don't know, made me not have a little bit of a jolt at the end of the pregnancy. But those two things were basically, one, Davey takes a more conservative stance on meconium than I realized. Okay. So I guess she has a, effectively, I think, reading through the lines from a past not so good experience and an immediate sort of, if there's meconium, you go to the hospital. And that is a very, like, in my mind, a more black and white way to look at the situation and not necessarily the procedure that a lot of other midwives that we work with follow. And that wasn't something that actually came up until our home visit. And I think ultimately I was able to just kind of let it go and trust the process that all was going to be okay. And Davey was the person that we trusted and we, like, loved her, that, like, I'm going to, like, not try and push back on this decision, though my doula was in some ways kind of encouraging me to have more conversations about it. And I was okay pausing, but it also was a little bit of that, like, shock, you know, a couple weeks before you're planning to deliver. And then the other one was our dogs, which ultimately was the right decision. But I very much had this vision of our dogs being there for the labor. And Sarah, as you may have seen on Instagram or whatever, we can share some of the links to our crazy dogs. If some of our friends think some of these videos should end up on America's, like, funniest home videos. But our dogs are wild. And when Davey came over to do the home visit, she, like, was very not on board with them being there. And I think that was another just, like, I don't know, thing that was so important to me. And ultimately, I think it was the right decision to not have them there. But again, one of those things, the more that you can prepare and get to know your care provider, and these came up later, even with me having, you know, interviewed her and seen her for a number of visits before we even got pregnant.
That's great. These are really great tips for those listening to take a step back on the front of partner. I think it's really great to feel out what the personality is of your partner and what's going to work best for them in terms of education and resources. Some might be the book readers, the listeners, some might just need those conversations or any combination. And now with this, what I'm hearing is the menu analogy, which I love, and checking in. That's why you have those prenatal appointments, to check in about various things that could be variations of normal, or could be things that could come up in your labor and birth. And so how do you usually navigate this? Or in your mind, what would happen if this happened? That sort of thing. Cause yeah, things can pop up. And to your point of being weeks away and thinking, okay, how am I going to mentally process this now? I didn't know this 5 minutes ago, and now this is information that I'm taking in. So I love that. Yeah. There's great notes to take here. So before we get into birth details, is there anything else about your pregnancy or the dynamic of your care that you wanted to share as you got closer to when birth was getting imminent?
Yeah. I mean, I think the only other thing that I might share is that I was very lucky, especially given the needed community of being able to come into pregnancy so well-resourced that, you know, it can be tough to say, but I was one of those lucky ones that I had a very easy, kind of comfortable pregnancy. And I think a lot of that was driven by really high quality nutrition, both diet plus supplements, plus I think working with a very interdisciplinary team of care providers. Like beyond Davey and Dr. Chin, I was lucky to see an acupuncturist and, you know, a pelvic floor chiropractor and a few other amazing kind of practitioners here in LA. And that, I think, set me up for success. Of, yeah, I think it would say the only thing that like we ever really, other than that little bit of a hydration scare of any sort of, you know, so-called trouble I had in pregnancy, was I gained weight really fast. I ultimately gained over 50 pounds in pregnancy. So Davey was always scolding me every time I came to the visit that like I hadn't moved up to buy new pants yet. I can be, and she's just like, literally like, can't wear these again. And I'm like, oh, these are the ones that like, I like moved up from our last appointment. And literally like every single visit, she's like, Ryan, like, you're throwing out these pants. I'm going to throw them out, or I'm going to cut them if you like, don't yourself.
I get it though. You're like, they can work. Like, or at least I've been in that stage in this pregnancy where I'm like, no, it still kind of fits.
Like, no, you're cutting off circulation. Like, I don't want to see this again. Yeah. But I think I was like, you know, stubborn around buying new clothes. I mean, we weren't going anywhere at that point in time. And who knows?
I get it. All right. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the birth.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So how did you know labor was starting, or did you know labor was starting?
Yeah, kind of. So effectively, let's see, Emerson was born at 41 weeks and one day. And between her basically so-called due date and that 41 weeks, effectively, it was a magical week before she was born. I think with running your own business, we've been sort of running hard for 4.5 years, and I really just hadn't had a break. And I think I wasn't immediately sort of ready for her to come. I really needed that like moment of pause before her. So a lot of people were like, you know, come due date, like, aren't you getting like frantic waiting for baby? And I was very much enjoying like, no, like she can come when she wants to come, but also like, I hope she gives me like a few more days. It was a hot sort of week in LA. So I was swimming in the ocean. I was wrapping up some herbalism training. I was going on long hikes with the dogs, like, and I very much needed that time. But then we got to sort of, my mom kept saying like, oh, like maybe she'll be a Valentine's Day baby. And on Feb sort of 13th, 2 days before I was 41 weeks, I had very significant chills and shakes lasting about 30 minutes fully. And they're pretty like violent shakes where you were certainly going through some sort of hormonal transition. Mm. And we sort of thought like, oh, like things are starting to happen. Maybe Emerson is now kind of coming. And I think that morning, Valentine's Day, was the first morning that I woke up actually being sort of sad. She wasn't here yet. So that was, I guess, 6 days after her due date. I did lose the mucus plug overnight. So it felt like, okay, things are starting, like we can transition to more versus me just having this like relaxing fun time, actually transitioning mine to baby is coming. And then the next day, I went in for my 41-week checkup with Dr. Chin. That's basically something Davey does, my midwife, in coordination with the OB to sort of be like, okay, can you go to 42 weeks? Does everything look okay? And is Dr. Chin going to give that okay? And at that 41-week ultrasound, it looked like my like hydration, my fluid levels, uterine fluid levels had dropped again. And it looked like through the ultrasound that the placenta had started to calcify. Mm-hmm. So he was like, if you were my like immediate patient, I would induce you right now. And instead, we called Davey. I passed a fetal stress test and they're like, nope, you can give 24 hours to get into labor. So that was the moment that we knew like, okay, baby is like really coming. And it's just a matter of, you know, are we going to get her to come at home tonight? And or are we meeting Dr. Chin at the hospital tomorrow morning? And I think I was able to stay surprisingly calm, even though going to the hospital was very much not my plan. I think because it felt like Emerson was ready to. I was at this point ready to meet her, and it felt like she was ready to. And I was also glad that Dr. Chin would be there versus because I wasn't his primary patient, it wasn't sort of guaranteed that he would be my backup versus if we did have to transfer that I could end up with, you know, any kind of OB that was attending at the time. So it started, and then we took castor oil to help it along. And that was a little bit of a sort of a funny experience of how do you take castor oil. I took it straight up, and effectively the way Davey recommends is you take a tablespoon every hour. And if by the fourth hour, your bowels don't start to move, she recommends you finishing the bottle with vodka, the Russian method, as she calls it. So luckily I didn't have to get to the Russian method. Things started like right before I was about to do it. but that would have been maybe an experience for another time.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow. Yeah. Castor oil comes up every once in a while, and it's a mixed bag as far as how people who did it feel about it after, or how people feel about it and haven't done it. It's really a situational thing. And for those who it worked for and would swear by it, do, and those that don't. So I'm all in support of whatever anyone wants to do. And then to hear like a vodka element thrown in there with something already like castor oil, I just think, woo!
Ah! Another shot.
Yeah.
Totally. But I think it worked for me. I mean, certainly like bowel movement started that afternoon, and by 10 p.m. that night, I was in labor. Mm. And by 11 p.m., as castor oil is known to sort of speed up contractions in some way, by 11 p.m. that night, sort of an hour in some ways after labor really started, I had a contraction lasting a minute every 3 to 5 minutes the entire night. So that was from, you know, 10 or 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. or actually even a little bit later that next morning. And yeah, so it was a long night, but truthfully was more manageable than I expected it to be. Like the first half of the night, I was able to stay sort of laying down through those contractions. I didn't sleep at all because they were close enough together. But, and then by the second half of the night, I was like, okay, I need some additional help. I can't sleep anymore. I went and took a shower, was getting up and down between every contraction using a birth ball. And then by the early morning, I think I was like, all right, Dave, you can put some pressure on my back, maybe around like 4:30, was leveraging his help. But we were talking like, should we call Davey? Should we call Carson? But ultimately we're like, let's wait until at least they've had a full night's sleep. So waited until 6 a.m. that morning, sort of to call them, explain what happened over the night. And, you know, weren't sure if they should come yet, but Davey was like, oh no, like I'm coming right away. And she was there within 30 minutes. And we're lucky, I guess at that point, she did check me and I was sort of 4 centimeters dilated. So the good news was like, we were going to be able at this point to labor at home, and we were able to let, you know, Dr. Chin know and some of our family know, like, we're not going to the hospital at noon, or at least that's not the plan at all. Ryan's in labor and we'll let you know when the baby's born.
Wow. That's amazing. And Carson was your doula, is your doula.
Carson was my doula, and Carson, so we called Davey and Carson that morning, and Carson, you know, they both were at our house really by 6:30, sort of 6:45 when Davey did that check. And then I think what surprised me is I remember Davey saying, like, it won't get any more intense than this, Ryan. And I think that like really relaxed me, but also was a surprise. But at that point, after, you know, laboring all night, I think whether or not that messaging kind of gave me extra relaxation, or my body was just saying, I need some rest in order to recoup. My contractions actually like slow to every 18 to 20 minutes. So I ended up actually going to bed for a couple of hours that morning, and I'd wake up for the contractions, but you could get, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes of sleep in between them, which almost sort of recharged you for the next phase.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what was the next phase?
So the next phase, I guess, basically woke up, Dave made me some eggs. It kind of was this weird, luxurious morning. Like, he made me some eggs. The full moon, it was a full moon day, and the full moon was bright that morning and like shining into our house. And it was just beautiful. And then we went on a walk around the neighborhood to try and see if that could help kind of get things going again. And it certainly did. I think the contraction timing ended up getting a lot closer when we were walking around the neighborhood, and ends up, there's some funny stories that have come out of it of neighbors that we ran into while I was in labor and having conversations with them, and then needing to hang on like Dave or a tree, and they would put pressure on my back as we were sort of mid conversation with a number of our neighbors that I think were like, hadn't really like, you know, seen sort of, you know, labor unfolding around the neighborhood. yeah. Cause I mean, at that point I'd been in labor for a long time, you know, with the sort of the overnight and well into the morning. And the walk got things going again. And really, by the time I got home, there was a transition. And Dave got the, I guess at that point, the tub ready to go, and was able to transition into more active, you know, pushing, which I think was a good thing. I actually, at first, even though like pushing was intense and those contractions were certainly much, much stronger, I think being able to have that like counterforce of doing something to it versus just needing to relax actually was a nice thing in my mind. But yeah, I mean, after 2.5 hours of active pushing, I was pulled out of the water not long after I had been there because my contractions were staying fairly far apart. And they came a little bit closer together when we were pulled out of the water. But really, up until Emerson was born, despite the contractions being very close together overnight, in the second phase, they never got closer than 4 minutes apart, which is unusual in the, you know, the final kind of stages of labor. But where I was actively pushing for 2.5 hours and then changing positions, trying to, you know, get more comfortable in different areas. And she was ultimately born in bed at 4:30 that afternoon. And I think was it like a shockingly like smooth process. I think both Davey and, you know, Carson kind of commented to that regard, which I guess I feel lucky for. But I think that the part I probably just like remember most was Dave just like eyes like completely tearing up as Emerson was born. And I like, I almost was like more focused on like his face than even seeing like my baby for the first time.
Mm. Oh. What position were you in when Emerson was born, and where was Dave relative to that?
Yeah. So he, I guess ultimately she was born, I was on my back and he was kind of holding me behind me. Mm. Yeah. We had been on a whole host of other positions, but yeah, ultimately I was laying in bed on my back. And I don't think I was there for that long, but I know my water ultimately broke when I was on the back, and that was in one of the last couple of contractions before she was born. She stayed in her sack like pretty much to the end. We were sort of thinking like, was she going to be actually born in the sack? But it broke one or two contractions before she ended up coming out.
What was it like meeting her?
Yeah, it was so wonderful. I mean, I think like it was, I think like in some ways it's kind of crazy, but seeing Dave's face was more like emotional almost than like seeing her. Cause in some ways I had, you know, mentally prepared for meeting her, where I hadn't sort of prepared to seeing like, I guess him be a dad for the first time. But yeah, I mean, it was just magical. It was wonderful to meet her and hear her and then be able to hold her. And then I remember like in some ways we got a little bit of time to snuggle, but I then remember like, passing her off to Dave so I could stand up to deliver the placenta. And then there was some funny sort of interactions of, I think, you know, Davey trying to talk to me around just like basically consenting to a couple of next steps, because my contractions were so far apart, they were worried about me continuing to bleed. Mm. So she was like wanting to get me okay with a Pitocin shot to help contract the uterus a little bit more so I wouldn't continue to bleed out. And then Emerson came out with her like hand across her face. So I had some very sort of minor sort of tearing. And Davey was like, I want to get you focused because like, I think if you just let me stitch this up right now, you're going to end up feeling so much better later. And she was right. But oh, I feel like after all of labor and delivering those like final, just like she was so quick, but those like last couple of minutes with her giving me just a couple of minor stitches felt like an eternity. Mm.
Yeah. I got stitched up on my bed too. And was like, I would like this to be over now.
Yeah, in some ways it like felt longer than everything else. But luckily I think it was the right move and it ended up working because I somehow lucked out with no painful urination after she did those the stitches, which was lucky. And then I think the after part was just, I mean, that's one of the best parts about the home birth model is that you're immediately in bed. How much like care folks give you and taking care of you in the aftermath. Like, I remember being so hungry because during those entire 18 hours, I'd only had a couple of like scrambled eggs. And Carson went and made a like placenta smoothie with a bunch of like the needed collagen and needed prenatal multi. And I just remember it being like, the most delicious thing I've ever had, which you wouldn't think of for a placenta smoothie. But at that point, it was just like, oh my gosh, I needed food so badly. And then, I mean, we were just kind of, I guess, snuggling as the team was taking care of us. I mean, she was born at 4:30, but I don't think the midwife, Davey, the midwife's assistant that came at the final end, Amy, and it was this like ray of light that came into, it felt like we'd known her for ages, even though we were meeting her for the first time, like, I don't know, an hour before Emerson was born. And then Carson were both there taking care of us until 9 p.m.-ish. And the one thing that I will say and like recommendation to other mamas that I now tell a lot of friends is I had a lot of support, as I've mentioned before, of different care providers, but I actually didn't have a lactation consultant that I had met with before. I had just sort of assumed that my midwife and Carson, our doula, would be able to support to that regard, that I didn't think I needed one. And Emerson had like more trouble sort of latching than I like expected her to do. Or like, I think though Davey and Carson knew a little bit, they were like, no, you really need to like talk to a lactation consultant about this. And I think I now tell so many friends that you can have one that's going to like support you and be there for you in the immediate aftermath. Like, I think that can be an amazing thing, of that feeling of just like not immediately being able to feed your baby is stressful. And we were lucky that like Carson has so many contacts in LA that she was able to schedule a lactation consultant to come over first thing the next morning. But that was the one, like, I don't know, kind of like bliss bursting bubble of, it was more of a, you know, a trying night trying to get Emerson to feed. And we were able to do it with the little, Dave ran out to get the little like nipple extenders that ended up working. But I certainly, you know, if you can avoid that. And when the lactation consultant came the next day, it was amazing just how quickly she was able to help us get Emerson to direct latch. That's definitely something that I recommend highly now, that maybe can be forgotten in the home birth versus I think they are mostly provided in the hospital setting.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that is a great point, because that could lead to conversations that somebody listening might now have with their midwife and doula, and then potentially having lactation consultant there for the birth, or you know, planning to come at the end. So that's a great point. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe, either in conversations you've had with Dave since, or just kind of what you would intuitively get off of him, how he experienced the birth? Like, what would you have to say on Dave's behalf? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, I mean, my experience of Dave during the birth was like, he showed up in a way that like I never could have imagined. I sort of like didn't expect him to get in the birth pub with me or to be as actively involved as he was. I think my like initial sort of picture of labor in some ways was honestly like Dave was going to be like managing our dogs while like Carson was helping me. And once the dogs were out of the picture, he was involved more than I like ever expected him to be, and like involved in a way that, you know, seeing a bunch of other home birth stories, and we did a hypnobirthing class, and like I think the hypnobirthing class kind of was like, I don't want to do what those dads did. Like, I don't know if you can count me in for that. But he ended up like, you know, being a full participant in a lot of ways. Surprised me in a wonderful way. But at the same time, like post Emerson sort of being born, he kind of was like, I was there. We got the birth you wanted. It was great. You guys were happy. And it wasn't like, you know, scary. It was very smooth and our daughter's healthy, but I don't want to go back and rehash it. So he hasn't really wanted to talk about the birth story that much versus prodding. It's sort of like he's like wants to move on for it, despite him, I think, playing a bigger role than I thought he would.
Got it.
And I don't think he's like, he's not necessarily one of those like, I'm a total home birth like convert. Like, let me recommend it to other dads. Mm-hmm. It's more like, I'm glad I was able to give like Ryan what she wanted. Our team was amazing. If she wants it again, I'm absolutely in support of her. Mm-hmm. But like, if it was my decision, you know, I might, who knows, like elect to come in at the end.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. That's a real perspective. And again, there are so many ways it can show up in terms of how the partners prepare, how they show up in the birth, and then how they process it afterwards. Yeah. So I get that. I think that's great. And I'm sure someone right now can relate to that, whether they've been having conversations with their partner that have sounded similar to what you shared and maybe felt like that was different, or they didn't talk to other people who their partners were experiencing it the same way. So I love that. I feel like you brought so many great different perspectives from the whole side of things here, from preconception to pregnancy and prenatal care and to the birth itself and postpartum. I love your examples in what it can look like. And I'm sure some people are taking notes, ideas for themselves. Maybe they've wanted to do it a way similar to how you've described it and now have that connection and that inspiration to do so. That's what's so powerful about these stories. So I'm so grateful to you. Are there any other words of wisdom or advice that you would share as we wrap up?
For me, it just like comes back to like, I look back on the experience and I'm lucky that I felt so hugely supported both by Dave and by the care providers around us. And I think we were lucky in a lot of ways, but I think can't stress enough that the preparation that is important and really just spending the time in advance, thinking through what you want and finding the people that can support you in that. And I guess just one other example of it is we similarly, like the midwife process, I think interviewed a bunch of pediatricians in LA. Mm-hmm. And I think truthfully, it was a harder process than I expected, finding a pediatrician that like would take insurance, but then was also willing to be sort of collaborative with some of the other kind of practitioners I had in the mix, whether it was a naturopathic doctor working with Davey, the midwife. And I think we ultimately found that and we love our pediatrician. And he was that, like, it was funny. He was at our house for the home birth checkup at the same time my parents walked in for the first time. And I think he gave them so much comfort of like, okay, finally, like Ryan has a traditional kind of like Western MT. This guy seems amazing, so competent, but also just like so joyous and wonderful. And yet he's like, I haven't worked with Davey yet. Like, let me call her in advance. And I want to spend like an hour getting to know her. Wow. And seeing that like collaborative kind of care again get played out was amazing. And again, it's sort of stressing like we lucked out, and I don't think this is the norm, but like I think giving hope to other mamas that like, if you know that's what you want, you can put in the time to find these like hidden gems.
Very well said. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us again. Yes. And sharing your birth story. We're so grateful to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And what you do is just amazing to be able to share all these stories.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.